If you love the History Extra podcast, make sure you follow us to keep up to date and get all the latest episodes. Thanks for your support, and I do hope you enjoy this episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Emily Briffitt here from History Extra. We have some exciting news for all history fans. We've just launched a brand new podcast series, History's Greatest Cities, offering the chance to roam the streets and sights of some of Europe's most fascinating metropolises. Join travel writer Paul Bloomfield and a host of expert historians as they chart the history of vibrant cities from the complex French capital Paris to the captivating Turkish city of Istanbul, sharing some top travel tips along the way. New episodes will be released weekly in an independent feed, so simply search for History's Greatest Cities and click subscribe. And here's a taste of what you can expect from the new series, as Dr. Eleanor Janiger dives into the story of the City of 100 Spires, Prague.
So how did that golden age come to an end?
Well, you know, it's all well and good to establish a university, but who knows what people might get up to in that university, essentially. And the trouble all starts with Jan Hus, who is a scholar at the university in Prague. And he starts his own chapel in 1402 called Bethlehem. And he is really, really influenced by the teachings of John Wycliffe from over in England. At this point in time, there's a Czech queen on the English throne, and there is a great deal of back and forth between England and Prague, even though at the time when the princess was sent over to England, everyone wasn't sure where London was, and they had to go check on whether or not a Czech girl could really live there in any sort of style. But people really love the teachings of Wycliffe, and Jan Hus then elaborates on this, and he's working harder and harder at this. Now, Wycliffe is condemned by the church, and subsequently Jan Hus becomes condemned by the church. But people really like his teachings. And now the trouble all kind of kicks off in 1419 when a priest named Jan Zielewski threw some city councillors out of the windows of the new town hall in the first defenestration of Prague. We'd go on to have several more. And this kind of marks the time when the Hussite peasant rebels kind of kickoff, and there is the first ever large-scale kind of Protestant religious movement in Europe. Now, we can't really use the term Protestant because, you know, we're not talking about, you know, anyone who's kind of connected to Martin Luther, but it's the first real movement away from the Catholic Church and kind of advocating for personal reform, personal piety. And the Hussites do really well. So the king at the time, who is Charles I's son, Venceslaus, is by all accounts not very well liked, and he's not very clever. And the Hussites kind of take over things very, very quickly. And the empire actually calls several crusades against them, all of which are defeated as the result of the wonderful military news of the leader Jan Žižka, who invents all kind of interesting maneuvers, like making what's called a Wagenburg, so like making a big circle of wagons and then attacking everyone from outside of it. And eventually the empire gives up and Bohemia is allowed to be a Hussite kingdom. But it really does kind of take its toll in terms of the merchant classes. There is a lot of infighting back and forth about what sort of flavor and brand of Hussitism people are going to have. So there's a lot of unrest kind of right in the early bit of the 15th century. And now I would argue that that's terribly interesting and one of the great things about Prague, but it's not always great for trade. So,
absolutely. And presumably at this time, Charles was Holy Roman Emperor. The Hussites have taken over. What does that mean for Prague in terms of its status in Europe?
Yeah, so its status drops quite precipitously. So initially, Venceslaus was meant to take over from Charles, and a lot of the imperial electors had promised that that would happen. Instead, the crown goes to his other son, Sigismund. And Sigismund is much more established in Hungary and what will be Austria. And so we begin to kind of see the imperial crown kind of start to gravitate eastwards, and it doesn't really come back to Prague for quite some time. So it maintains in importance as a regional center. It will always be an important trade center. And frankly, they've got rather a lot of money because of all the silver mines. So it never drops off the map completely, but it does lose the kind of imperial shine for a couple hundred years there.
That was Dr. Eleanor Janiger on Prague. To hear the full episode and for more details about our new weekly series, search for History's Greatest Cities wherever you get your podcasts.